Hi, welcome to Peanut Butter and Jelly Shoes. I'm Caitlin.
I'm Tiffany.
What did we watch today, Tiffany?
Today we watched a 1986 classic called Happy New Year.
Charlie Brown.
Exclamation point.
Oh, okay, yeah. It's Happy New Year. Wait, yeah. Happy New Year, Charlie Brown.
Happy New Year, Charlie Brown!
Yeah, right? That's what we watched. I don't know if it was a classic.
I don't know.
We both hadn't seen it in like 30 years, so
at least I think I probably saw it once because there were a few parts that I remembered, mm-hmm. but most of it I did not.
Yeah, it's one of those like holiday specials that like so there's a ton of Charlie Brown holiday specials
for every there was an Arbor Day special.
Yes, but it was like this. They're grasping at straws to recreate the magic of the original Charlie Brown Christmas special.
Yeah,
and I don't know. They've ever succeeded.
The Thanksgiving one is a classic.
That one's a classic, yeah.
I feel like those two. Oh, and the Great Pumpkin.
Oh, Halloween. You're right. So the major... Right. Great Pumpkin's a big one.
The Trinity, the Holy Trinity That's of right. Christmas, Halloween, and Thanksgiving.
And then all the baloney festivals. Baloney holidays.
You know. Happy Baloney Festival, Charlie Brown.
So this one was a half hour long. Which I think is a little shorter than the other ones originally. Well, I don't know.
It felt right for length. There really wasn't a plot. Here, real talk, we were like, what can we watch that's a New Year's special? Slim pickings out there, my friends.
Yeah.
This was kind of it.
Because when you Google New Year's specials, all you get is like Dick Clark's Rocking Christmas Eve. And that's the kind of all that pops up. But we found this one.
Yeah.
And so like Tiffany said, the plot is kind of thin.
The plot is there, it opens, they're in class, Charlie Brown's talking about how excited he is to go on Christmas break and how great it is that there's 1 minute of class left and they have no homework, and then the teacher assigns them, they have to read War and Peace over the Christmas break and write a book report over it. He gets invited to a holiday party and has to read the book and he's upset about it. That's the whole plot.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah. And the weird thing about it is, here's my question. How old are they supposed to be?
I wondered that myself. They're no older than 10, if they're even 10.
I feel like they're like 9-ish.
Yeah.
Somewhere around that age.
There's no way a 9-year-old is assigned War and Peace. I mean, I think it was done because it's like a sight gag, it's a joke.
Yeah.
And also because isn't it in the public domain? So, like, they can actually read parts of it aloud like they did in the movie without, like, being in trouble for it.
And they read a lot of it out loud.
They did.
Yeah, there was a lot of scenes of Charlie Brown just quietly, like, in his head in an echoey voice.
Yeah, just moping around about having to read the book.
Yeah, and, like, reading it aloud to himself.
And he was always on page 5.
Yeah, and that was kind of another running joke.
But, like, here was my big burning question about the whole entire movie. Why did no other child in the class have to read the book and do the book report?
Thank you. Yeah, so he's in the same class as most of these kids.
Yes, he's sitting directly in front of Linus.
But Linus doesn't have to read War and Peace.
No.
No, none of the other students do.
No, unless they've already, like, previously read it, in which case, that's bullshit. What child has read this book before it was ever assigned to them?
Yeah, it's baloney.
And this is before the age of Cliff's Notes or internet.
Yeah.
So, like, there wasn't a good way to get a summary. I mean, he could have asked his parents, but none of them have parents, right? They're all orphans.
No, I mean, they're like, the children of a brass section of an orchestra.
Right.
And so they...
It took a second for that to catch up to me.
Because they are trumpets.
Mm-hmm.
No, but, like, to be fair, to Charlie Brown's credit, he goes to ask...
Yes.
Like, he asks if he can find Cliff Notes, basically, at a bookstore.
Yes.
And he asks if there's a movie version of it. He asks if there's, like, a summary, if there's a comic book of it, like, anything.
And then he asks for a film strip, and you're like, what's a film strip? But you remembered.
Because we're old enough that we like, had in class projectors with...
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
It was my moment in elementary school if I got to, like... do the transparency. Remember the transparency overhead projector? Like,
oh,
you
yeah.
got to put the thing on there and, that was my moment. I loved it.
Did you ever had the carousel, like, slides?
Zoetrope? Oh, yeah.
Not a Zoetrope.
I'm not that old.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. We did have the, like, the Solia family slides were on, like, that. It looks like an angel food cake tin, basically. Yeah. But it was full of slides. Yeah.
So we had those in school when I was really little.
We had them in the home.
Oh, see, we never had one at home.
Oh. We had them at school, too, but...
And I just remember, like, there'd be a tape, like, a cassette tape that would play, like, the music or the recording or the voices. And then when you have to, like, change the slide and make, like, a boop sound.
Mm, what was it?
It was, like, a boop sound. Okay. Like, every time you had to change the slide.
Right.
It was really... And whoever got to change the slide, it was a big deal.
Yeah, you always wanted to be that kid in charge of it. I don't know if I ever got to be in charge of, like, the film store. I don't think any kids were, because it was delicate.
It is. It's delicate, highly flammable.
Highly flammable. And we were just always carrying around just lit matches as children, so...
I mean, but there's static electricity, you know, you never know what's going to happen.
That's a real thing.
It is. It happens.
Yeah. So anyway, no one else had to read the book, apparently. So this whole movie, Peppermint Patty is planning a New Year's Eve party.
Right.
With her girlfriend, Marcy. And she's calling Charlie Brown to invite him. And Caitlin and I were like, let's play the drinking game where we take a sip of wine every time she calls him Chuck.
We almost died.
We immediately realized that was a horrible decision.
She ends every sentence with Chuck.
And she begins every sentence with Chuck.
Yeah. It's like this weird vocal tic that they think is charming.
But it's not.
No.
She's always been, like, my least favorite. She annoys me so much.
This is interesting because she has a very interesting personality. Did you hear this year that there was, like, a big blow-up on Twitter about her?
No.
So when they aired the Thanksgiving special...
Uh-huh.
People, like, I went on Twitter shortly, like, I don't know, sometime during Thanksgiving, and I saw Peppermint Patty was trending. And I was like, what is happening? So apparently, like, in the Thanksgiving special, she's a little bitch. Because she invites herself over, and she criticizes all the food.
But she doesn't bring anything.
She brings nothing.
Yeah, that's right.
And except for her goddamn mouth to feed, and she just is bitching about all the food, and she's complaining about everything, and she did nothing to help, and she invited herself, and she...
And, like, the new generation of Twitter users just discovered this?
Apparently, because everyone was, like, shouting at her about how she's a horrible monster.
I mean, they're not entirely incorrect.
Right, but then there were people that were countering, saying, well, like...
The defenders?
The reason she called him is she says on the phone call that her dad is going out of town, so he was literally leaving his child alone on Thanksgiving.
But how different is that from every day of her life?
That's true, but also, like, that's, like, tragic, and she was calling him because she had no one, and she was depressed, and she was trying to be, like,
right.
She's an abandoned, like, latchkey kid, and she doesn't know how to interact with people because she's never been taught. So,
fair.
It turned into quite a debate online.
Where do you fall?
You
empathize with her, don't you?
I feel sympathy for her, but at the same time, I think she needs to learn how to be more socially appropriate.
She needs to be socialized like a dog.
She does. She does. She needs, you know, she needs to be told what's right and what's wrong. She needs to, like, get, like, spritzed in the face with water.
She needs to have her nose rubbed in it.
So she does.
A few times.
So she's planning this New Year's party.
Yeah.
In this special.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so everyone's going, but then, except for Charlie Brown's the only one that has to read War and Peace for some reason.
The only one.
Yeah.
So then, like, really, there isn't a lot of, a lot of character development for our other favorite, you know, members of the gang, like Sally and Linus and all these other people. Like, they basically exist just to debate who's going to ask who to the New Year's dance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Schroeder and Lucy are only in this briefly, which is a damn shame, because I love Lucy.
Of course you do.
Of course I do. But, like, she's not in it very much.
Mm-mm.
That was sad.
Yeah, like, the most colorful characters aren't in it. It's just pretty much... mostly Charlie Brown.
Talking about friggin' War and Peace.
I know, it's as exciting as you think it is.
Which is a roller coaster.
But while he's reading it, like, he then makes some comment about how all of his friends are taking a dance class at that moment.
Right?
And he was like, oh, everyone I know is at the dance class right now. I have to read my book. I guess I should go over and maybe check it out for some reason. Maybe I could bring my book.
He, like, brought his book on, like, a grandmother's shopping trolley that they use to carry their groceries in. He's, like, carrying this book. And he goes and he sits in the middle of the dance class reading the book. Like, he is a human sigh. Like, he's just existing to, like... make people look at him and feel sorry for him.
Right, like,
he's
why?
Like, pay attention to me. You guys are having fun. I guess I'll just be here reading War and Peace.
Yeah, also, ugh, I don't know. That whole class should have gotten together and, like, you know, divided and conquered that book. You know, right. Like, I'll take this chapter, you take that chapter. Like, yeah. No, they didn't do that because they're just dumb.
No, but this was the first part of this movie where I had, like, a very vivid jolt of recognition.
Mm-hmm.
Was the musical sequence that took place where they were learning the foxtrot. And
yeah.
It was a jaunty little song.
It all of a sudden turns into a musical, and there's this song that I guess is called Slow, Slow, Quick, Quick.
Yeah, it's
well, we
the
both perked
two steps.
Up.
We were both, yeah, our ears are just
we're
like
wait a minute. Yeah. Like, I remember this all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And it's literally just them singing about how to do a foxtrot, but then all the kids are just literally jumping up and down.
Right.
Yeah. The animation doesn't match.
What's your Charlie Brown dance style? Everyone's got one. Who's your character?
Oh, I don't know which character does what. I mean, I've always been partial to that weird, like, almost completely bald girl that has no lines and
uh-huh.
you never see her again. And
is she the one that throws her head back?
She's like a little purple dress on, and she like swings her head back and forth, and she goes like her whole like sparse little wispy hair is like flip flop back and forth, and she just goes side to side like jumping head tilt, jumping back the other way head tilt.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
I've been always partial to her dance because
she
just,
like the alopecia peanut.
I guess, but I feel like you don't ever see her again. I think she only pops up for this dance, and then you never see her again.
Interesting.
I don't know. I could be completely making this up right now. I don't have a visual
no,
reference.
No, I can recall who you're talking about. When you were talking about the hair flopping from side to side, that does sound familiar.
Yeah, and then there's that one kid who also isn't in anything else, who, like, just, like, almost has, like, an in-place moonwalk kind of thing. I don't
uh-huh.
even know how to describe it.
Yeah.
What's yours?
I'm not sure. Either though, I'm gonna give it a go because I'm a good sport. But either the,
you brought
and
it up.
I brought it up. I should have had an answer ready. Either the one that like throws the head back and just like does this. You can't see it. I'm doing this a podcast. It's not a visual aid. But you know which one I'm talking about. His head
no.
is just like tipped back all the way.
I feel like that's all of them.
But he's doing like this.
She's slowly rocking back and forth, like, jostling her shoulders.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is how I dance.
For the sake of this, yes.
Or Pigpen, just because I'm a stinky bitch.
I mean, who isn't?
Fair. Yeah, so dance class, he literally just goes there to make them feel bad that he's reading this
yeah.
book. And it was weird. He participates briefly. Peppermint Patty calls him Chuck a whole bunch.
Mm-hmm, so we drink more wine.
A lot more wine.
But then, like, she's forcibly forcing him, like, well, that's redundant. She's forcing him to dance with her, and he doesn't want to.
Yeah.
Like, she is not one for consent.
No, she's not.
No, it makes
she's
me upset.
Pushy.
She's very pushy. She's, like, she's that person that all of a sudden she shows up to every event, even if she's not invited.
We all know that person.
And then ruins it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's her.
That's her to a T.
So, but, like, I don't even remember how that concluded. It just concluded with
either.
Oh, it concluded with him tripping over the book, I think, and, like, falling over. And she makes
it
fun of him for
right.
it. She forces him to dance, pushes him over the book, and then publicly humiliates him for it.
Yeah.
Way to go, Peppermint Patty.
What a bitch.
I know, right?
Then it, like, I don't know, they're getting ready for the party now. Charlie Brown is still reading the book. Linus's weird brother is, like, blowing up square balloons.
Oh, God, yeah, no, this was another, like, it triggered a deep-seated memory that I had forgotten about. But, like, so Lucy and Linus are brother and sister.
Yeah.
And then they have another brother who, I think his name was Rerun?
Yes. Just, like, a little dodgy.
Yeah.
To me.
I mean, he just looks like Linus.
Yeah, he does.
But smaller. And he's blowing up balloons, and they're all turning into squares.
He never speaks. Wasn't that, like, his whole deal? Like, he never talked?
I thought he spoke.
I don't think he spoke.
I feel like I saw some special where he talks. He has, like, a really little kid voice. Maybe I made this up.
I don't know. I was gonna see if I could look that up. I'm not gonna try.
Okay.
I'm not just gonna type in Rerun Speaks, because that's gonna give me a million results.
Yeah, that's rough.
Woof.
No, because so he's blowing up, but then he pulls out a non-square. So the joke was, like, everyone's blowing up balloons, and Rerun is everything he blows up is square.
And then Linus takes one of the square balloons from his brother's mouth, shakes it out, blows up the same balloon again around, then shakes it out and gives it back. They've now blown up the same balloon three times. That is so disgusting to me.
Yeah, well, they're brothers.
I don't care. That's gross.
Well, but then he pulls out another balloon out of his pocket that he had just happened to be carrying on him.
Yeah, it was a condom.
It was a condom. And there's this, like, long... But it's, like, a ribbed condom.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was extremely uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah, it was like, whoa, was this... Oh, it's just turning into giant inflatable, anal beads, essentially, in the sky.
Yes! Yeah. Anal beads, that's what they looked like.
That's right, yes.
Gross.
Mm.
They were taller than he was.
Well, I mean, you know, he's... I don't even know what to say.
I don't know. You looked... Your face looked a little panicked.
I'm going to start making a joke, and then I can't, like... Well, you know, but he's also, like... Then I remembered he's a child.
He's a child.
And I just, like, backed
the truck up. Of an indeterminate
age.
Yeah. I think I also wrote down a comment here, like, there's the very mismatched love... not a triangle, like, partnership between Sally and Linus. Sally's, like, obsessed with Linus.
Yeah.
Linus could not give less of a shit about it.
To be fair, I think Sally is supposed to be, like, 3 years younger than them. She's supposed to be, like, a kindergartner or something.
I also feel like Sally is every woman in the world. What? Who's, like, chasing after the dude that it could not care less. And, what? Like, is constantly rejecting them. And she's just like, oh, he's the best. He's so great. And she's still trying to, like, force it to happen.
This is, like, every woman you've ever met?
A lot of women.
I know a lot of guys that have, like, chase after. You're saying what?
I'm saying women try to, like, they find the guy they like. And they try to make it happen. And when it isn't happening.
Guys that also fall into that umbrella, too.
I guess. I just see it as more of a woman thing.
It's a little sexist.
Well... I'm a sexist person.
Yeah, apparently.
I don't know what you want me to say. I have a very low opinion of women and men. People.
See, you're just a misanthrope.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you know, because I was like, I couldn't figure out, because I don't know a lot of women that have fallen to that.
Hello.
Well, you, and then occasionally me. Occasionally.
You, well, me, and everyone we know.
To be fair, all my male friends also fall into this, too.
Yeah.
Like, she'll like me. Once her boyfriend breaks up with her, like, no pal, you've been trying for 8 years.
Oof.
Yeah.
8 years?
We know a few guys that have, you can think of a few.
Can I? Write down a name. Who am I thinking? Who?
I just...
The what?
Never mind, we'll discuss that afterwards. No, I could think of, like, three guys that we know that fall into this category.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
Huh.
That's for a later time.
We'll do a separate podcast about that just for us. It's going to be just a phone call.
But so they're getting ready for the party. Okay, here's another thing I just realized.
What?
Peppermint Patty's hosting this party, right? Yes. Why? Actually, this is such a classic Peppermint Patty.
Why is she not doing any work for
She's doing no work for it. She's letting the... What is... They have a weird last name. It's like Van Houten. That's Milhouse. It's like the...
No, it is Van Houten. Milhouse is Van...
Oh, Van Houten.
Van Horn.
They're Van something.
Are they
Vans?
Fuck. We did absolutely zero research, as obviously. You can tell. Keep talking.
Van Pelt.
Van. Linus, Bike Venice Retail Location. It's the last name.
I think it's Van Pelt.
That sounds right. What is a Linus bike? Why does Linus carry a blanket?
Because he's emotionally stunted.
It is Linus Van Pelt.
Yes.
Yeah, good job.
Thank you. So the Van Pelt kids are doing all of the decorations.
Yeah.
Including the youngest, who is not even invited to the final party.
Right. Oh, that's right. Poor Rerun. Well, he's probably going to be asleep because he's an infant.
That's true. He's an infant?
I don't know. I can't tell ages. You're either a toddler or you're 10. I don't know.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
There's, so they're getting ready for the party. Charlie Brown decides at the last minute he's going to go, and he's, like classic Charlie Brown, he drags the book with him to the party.
Oh, you know what we forgot to talk about?
What did we talk about?
Charlie Brown has always, his whole entire life, had such a boner for the little redheaded girl.
Oh, yeah.
And he decides, he works up the courage to ask her to the dance.
Mm-hmm.
Ask her to the fucking dance at his friend's house. Like, he's making this huge thing. So he, like, goes over to her house. He's, like, agonizing over, like, how to deliver a letter. And, like, we find out our name is Heather, which is alarming because I don't remember ever knowing that until this moment. I mean, obviously, I'd seen this, so I must have known, but it didn't retain.
Yeah.
So that was, like, a shock. I don't know how I'm going to sleep tonight.
No, we both looked at each other in alarm as they said, like, oh, hey, Heather, are you home? Like, and I was like, Heather?
Heather?
The little redheaded girl.
That's wild.
Also, why doesn't he just call her Heather if he knows her name?
I don't know.
I mean, she's... Like, he's just constantly calling out the fact that she's a ginger. I'm like, that's not cool, man.
No, it's not cool.
No.
But so he's trying to invite her, and we just kind of glossed over that part.
Right. But, oh, God. So what happens is he decides to drop a letter in her mail slot, and that's not a euphemism, like, her literal mail slot in her front door.
What does that mean? What's that a euphemism for?
Well, sometimes when a man loves a woman very much, she puts things in her slot.
Okay.
And in this case, it's also accurate.
Thank you.
But here's the thing. Charlie Brown is depressed. I feel horrible for Charlie Brown. Like, he's a walking existential crisis.
Yeah.
As you said, he's a...
A human sigh.
A human sigh. But here's the thing, though. It's like, you feel awful for him, but then he'll do something where he completely goes out of his way to fuck up his own life to, like, the point where you can't feel sympathetic in that moment.
Yeah, I'm having a real hard time talking about Charlie Brown right now because I know a conversation topic that's coming up at the end of this podcast. Anyway.
So Charlie Brown cannot figure out how to put a letter through a mail slot in a front door. He sticks his entire hand, and he talked about even beforehand, he was like, I'm going to get my hand stuck in the mail slot. I'm like, how are you putting mail, like, you just push the letter in. You don't need to put your entire wrist through the mail slot. Fucking Charlie Brown does.
And it's probably that situation where his hand is stuck because it's, like, a fist.
He's probably holding onto the letter.
And it's like, just drop the letter and you can move your hand out. And how long do you think he sat there? Because the next scene we see him is, like, walking to the party. I'm like, was he in that door for, like, 5 hours?
I wouldn't be, yeah.
You wouldn't be shocked.
But the door blew open, and he's, like, half of his ass is, like, in the foyer of the house of the girl he likes, and his hand is stuck in the thing, and he's screaming, like, nonsense.
Heather!
Yeah, it's like, Heather, I want to invite you to dance. You can come, but also, like, I can pick you up. And, like, he's shouting to no one, by the way. Like,
yeah, there's
nobody.
No one there. Also, why wasn't their door locked? What goes on in this town? No parents? Open doors?
I think it's, like, some post-apocalyptic society, like kids' town.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Is that a theory that you just made up?
No, I mean, the parents exist.
We never see them. The only...
We hear them.
Do we hear the parents or just the teachers?
No, we hear the... Wah, wah, wah.
That's really actually a very solid impression. I'm very proud of you. But, like, I thought... I guess I only associated that with school. I don't remember hearing that in home situation.
Well, they mention their parents, but unless this is, like, some coping
mechanism.
It's like
the skeletons of their parents that they have propped up in the attic.
I feel like we've heard the mom, and so, I don't know. I think they're around.
It's Kidstown.
Anyway, they're not doing a great job of raising these children.
No, they're not.
So so Charlie Brown goes to the party, decides to go to the party.
Yeah.
Bringing the book along. They force him to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Against his will.
Right.
Because he's Charlie fucking Brown. And they play musical chairs.
And that musical chairs game was lit. Like, they were having a blast. There was a really cool song for it.
Yeah, I don't remember how it goes, but it's...
It was singing the rules of the game of musical chairs.
Yeah.
Which is basically, like, sit down when the song stops. But they turned it into a 2.5-minute song, and I loved it.
I was
feeling that song.
They started with, like, 7 or 8 kids.
Right.
And Charlie Brown, much to our shock and delight, got to second place. He got down to the final two, which was so unlike him.
And honestly, second place for Charlie Brown might as well be a trophy and, like, a first place ribbon.
That might as well be a Nobel Prize for him.
Yes, because he's never going to get a first place.
Right.
Like, he's always last place.
He is.
And so second place is, like, he probably wrote about that in his journal that night.
Oh, he probably still remembers it to this day, and now he's probably, like, you know, 78 years old.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no.
It's all that's kept him going all these years.
Yeah, he was having a grand old time. He was smiling, he was laughing.
Yeah.
Yeah, good for him.
And then he went out to read the book on the fucking porch, and he started doing that thing that I hate in movies. It seems only in animation, like, when they're turning the pages... He's, like, turning them the wrong way. Did you see that?
No.
It annoys me so much. They do it in, like, every cartoon I've ever seen. Like, instead of turning from, like, right to left, he was turning from left to right. I'm like, that's why it's taking you so long. You're not reading it correctly. Like, you're so confused.
I wouldn't be surprised if that was accurate. He probably was reading the book upside down, too.
Probably.
Friggin' Charlie Brown.
God.
Yeah, because he got one taste of having fun or an enjoyment, so he said, oh, this isn't for me. So it's freezing cold outside, literally, because it starts to snow.
Yeah.
And he's out there without a coat.
Yeah.
And he just falls asleep on the porch trying to read this book. And there's, like, an unusually long amount of time of him reading it, like, to himself in his head. Yeah.
Yeah, aloud.
But you hear it.
Yeah, correct.
And then, of course, while he's out there reading, who shows up at the party?
Fucking Heather.
Heather, the little red-haired girl.
The little red-headed slut. She was wearing blush.
You know what? Just because a woman wears makeup doesn't make her a slut.
Sure it does.
You're wearing makeup.
I'm a slut.
I was like, wait a minute, you're wearing a lot more makeup than I am right now.
Well.
Well.
Call a spade a spade.
So she shows up. No, she's blushing. I think my theory is she's blushing. She's
flushed.
Because, well, she's just come in from the cold air.
Right.
And I know you're from Florida, and you don't know what cold air feels like. But when you're outside. It's
pretty chilly right now.
But when you're outside in freezing temperatures, your cheeks get rosy.
Okay.
And she's also nervous because the little bald kid, Charlie Brown.
Do you think she talks about him to her circle of friends as a little bald kid?
Well, he only defines her by her hair, so I'm sure she defines him by his hair, which is lack thereof. So she comes in by herself. By the way, she shows up at like 11:55.
That's the way to do a New Year's party. Show up for the last 5 minutes.
She does.
Exit immediately. Again,
she's a child. She walked there alone.
Yeah.
And she shows up and fucking Linus. Linus is a baller.
Linus is a snake.
He is. So he goes in immediately. To be fair, he like looks around for Charlie Brown for half a second.
Not hard because he's asleep on the ding-dang porch right in front.
And by the way, the front door leading out to the porch is wide open.
Completely.
So like people could. There's literally only two places Charlie Brown could be right now. He could be on the porch where they had just seen him previously.
Mm-hmm.
Or he could be in the one room of this entire house.
Or he could have been raptured.
We all know he's going to hell.
Yes. 100%.
So that's scratched.
Okay.
Or he could be pooping in the toilet.
He could be.
Yeah. So but Linus like does that quick little head wave around and then he goes, oh, I guess I can't find Charlie Brown. Here, I'll dance with you. So he
little fucker
dances with the girl that he knows is his best friend's girl. And yeah, I was like, you sly dog, you.
Yeah.
In the words of Peppermint Patty.
You sly dog.
Yeah.
Sally's sweet baboo stepping out on her.
This is one thing that's really funny to me about the Peanuts universe.
Universe?
The Peanuts. Okay. Peanuts.
Thank you.
Universe.
Thank you.
Is that... Every single character, it seems like, is in love with another character.
Yes.
And it's all unrequited.
Lucy and Schroeder.
Sally and Linus.
Charlie and Heather.
Peppermint Patty and Charlie Brown.
Marcy and Peppermint Patty.
Yeah.
We haven't even touched on the fact that she calls Peppermint Patty sir.
Okay, so I actually know about this.
Okay, please. Enlighten me.
So it's a joke from the comics. The comic strip. No, when it originally... Like, so when Marcy was first introduced,
mm-hmm.
The joke was in the comic books that she has these huge, thick Coke bottle glasses.
Right.
And the joke was that she was so... Her eyesight was so bad, she actually thought Peppermint Patty was a boy because she couldn't see her. And so, and apparently in the comics, she kept correcting her and saying, I'm a girl, and she just kept calling her sir, because also Marcy's stupid. So then finally she just, like, gave up and was like, yeah, sure, could just call me sir. But the joke is she calls her sir because her eyesight's so bad, she thinks it's a boy.
Okay.
Because she has boyish tendencies.
I guess that's why I call you sir.
I can't see. Sir with love.
I have Coke bottle glasses, and I'm super dumb.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm not going to argue with either of those points.
I'm just gonna sit here and watch you drink your wine.
Yep. Ooh. No, so, but I like that it's all unrequited. And I think that's
you're
really
right.
Cute.
I don't think I've ever noticed that before. I mean, that's very kid romance. That's mm-hmm. like kind of the way it goes.
And it's also very on par with the universe
yeah.
of this because it's just like, yeah, nobody's ever getting what they want.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's sad, but that's life.
Yep.
So poor Charlie Brown and his redheaded girl. So she shows up at like 11:55.
Right, again, the way to do it.
But then, right when the ball drops, they are singing Auld Lang Syne.
Yes.
And she leaves before they finish singing the song.
Yeah.
She's there for all of five and a half minutes. Yeah. Well, I guess Linus got what he wanted out of her.
Yeah, he did. God. You know what we didn't talk about is before he falls asleep, Charlie Brown on the bench, Peppermint Patty comes out there and they have a conversation. And they're talking about, like, what are you going to do in the new year?
Yeah.
Do you remember this part? And he's like, I'm going to do something different. Yeah. He's like, you know how I always dread the whole year? This year I'm going to dread each day one at a time. I've, like, never related to anything more.
It's accurate.
I thought that was funny. So anyway, he wakes up when he hears them singing, and then he comes and he's like, did I miss it? Yeah, you missed it.
You missed it, because you were a wet blanket per usual.
Per usual.
Decided to read War and Peace at a party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the very next day is the day they have to go into school.
Yeah, New Year's Day.
They're in school on January 1st to turn in their book reports. And yet again, he's the only one turning in a book report.
Yeah.
Linus is sitting behind him asking him how it went. He doesn't have a book report to turn in. It's the weirdest friggin' thing. And then Linus is like, did you hear our next assignment? It's Crime and Punishment. Like, what school do these people go to?
And also, no one else read the book or wrote a report. So the fact that he got a... So Charlie Brown says he got D minus.
D minus.
He's the only one that tried.
Oh, God.
Man, this kid.
Have you ever read either of those books?
No.
I haven't either. I have a really hard time. I read a lot.
Yeah.
But I have a really hard time with Russian literature. I tried to read The Brothers Karamazov.
Oh, God. I heard that's awful.
I have tried to read that book maybe like four or five times. I pick it up and I thought I could see it right there on my shelf, but I can't. I pick it up all the time. I can never get more than like 20 pages into it. Every character name is like 300 consonants long, and they all sound the same. It's dense.
I've heard that each character has like four or five different names, because they all call each other by nicknames, so it's almost impossible to tell who is who.
It's extremely confusing and just like very densely worded and like, bleh. So I don't know, as a grown human person who like reads a lot, I can't even handle those kind of books.
No, you're like the most prolific, like you're a speed reader, like,
yeah,
and you can't even get through those. No. There's no hope for any of us.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then it ended, it like faded to black, and then they replayed the musical chairs song over the credits, which I appreciated.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah
So they just so Charlie Brown's distraught that he missed the little red-haired girls. But they're like, it's okay. Marcy gives him a kiss. I appreciated that. I was like, aw, he did get a kiss on New Year's. It's just from a blind girl.
She probably thought she was kissing Peppermint Patty.
She probably did. No, she did say Charlie. She said, Happy New Year's, Charlie.
Weird.
Yeah, and then it kind of ended, I think.
It did. And we watched... How did we watch this one?
Oh, God. So I found it. I Googled it. I found it on my phone from archive.org.
Proud sponsor.
Not a sponsor.
Could be.
So it's free online, but only on archive.org. And, like, I screen... What is it called? Mirroring? You
screen mirrored it to my television.
Yeah.
What a world we live in.
I had never done... I know that technology's been around for years, but I've never done it before.
It was very exciting.
And all of a sudden, my phone was on her TV, and it was spooky.
Yeah, and then we were like, what else can we look at on your phone on my TV? And the first thing I said was, put on the calculator.
Yep, she sure did.
Dork.
Yep, and she taught me about the, you can turn it into a scientific calculator.
That's the way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what do you think about this movie? Film. Special.
This.
Program.
I hadn't seen it in, God, since I was, like, really little. Like, unlike the other Peanuts specials, which, like, you know, you catch on TV. Mm-hmm. This one completely, I knew I had seen it, but, like, I didn't remember anything about it. But as soon as we started watching it, I was like, oh, my God, I remember that and that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was cute. I thought it was fun. I liked it. I think I like it more than the Thanksgiving special.
You do?
Yeah, the Thanksgiving special feels weird to me. I don't know. I've never
liked
that
one. Jelly beans and popcorn on toast?
Yeah, that's correct, Tiffany. That's what happens on the...
I'm flabbergasted.
No, I just think this one, I don't know, it's not as good as The Great Pumpkin or the Christmas special, but I don't know, I really like it. There's something really simple and basic about it.
The whole thing is him bitching about reading a book.
Yeah, but it just, I don't know, it felt more quintessentially Peanuts-y.
Right. Well,
that's just me. What did you think?
It was fine. Like, on a scale of 1 to 10.
Yeah.
I don't know, you're like a 4.
Oh, okay. I'll give it like a 6.
Okay.
There was not enough Snoopy. Snoopy was hardly in it.
Snoopy was hardly in it.
Lucy was hardly in it.
It was upsetting to me. She's always the draw. She's the Miss Piggy of the Peanuts world.
She really is.
She is. When she isn't there, it suffers.
Yeah.
Now we need to get into it.
Okay.
Well, I saw something on your notes.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know how I feel about it, because I wrote down something in mine that I wanted to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
As Charlie Brown is, like, having a meltdown panic attack, trying to decide how to mail a letter, and spiraling into every worst case scenario that can happen, I wrote down, am I Charlie Brown? And then I saw your fucking notes, and you wrote down Charlie Brown colon Tiffany, or equals Tiffany, and I was like...
To be fair, I wrote this down not during that scene.
Oh, great. Which one did you write it down?
I wrote this down when he was talking about how he dreads the whole year, now he's only going to dread it one day at a time. And I wrote down Charlie Brown.
I mean, I do have that tattoo on my entire back, so.
Equals Tiffany.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are kind of Charlie Brown.
I do have some Charlie Brown tendencies, and what's terrible about that is I hate Charlie Brown. Like, watching it, I'm like, he's such a drip. Like, he's the worst. Like, why is anyone friends with him? He sucks. And then I'm like, oh my god, it's like looking into a mirror. It's really kind of this horrible realization.
Well, it's funny because as you were realizing this about yourself, you then said something. You said you hate Linus.
No, I didn't say I hate Linus. You wrote within down. Linus's first line, I wrote, man, fuck Linus.
And then I realized I am Linus.
You are Linus.
I am Linus.
You know everything.
I will know some random historical, like, this is from this ancient thing and blah, blah, blah. And this book says we need to do this. And I'll just, like, follow you around like an asshole and,
yeah,
like,
and
spout
about
this.
It.
Like, why your feelings are wrong because these other people are feeling this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm Linus.
And I mean, it makes sense. They're best friends.
Yeah. I don't have a security blanket, though. But I did sleep with a stuffed animal until I was, like, 18. So.
I was trying to think of, like, a metaphor for what your security blanket is. Your wit?
No, I was trying to think of something physical. I don't know.
Your lipstick is your security blanket.
No, my chapstick is. Well, that's not really... I just have chronic chap lips, so yeah, I don't think that's a security blanket. My wine.
Your wine.
Yeah, there
you
we
do
go.
Always. Actually, you literally always have a glass of wine in your hand.
Even when, like, in the middle of the night.
No matter the... Even in the car. No matter the situation, just a glass of wine.
Yep, it's true.
But yeah, so it's like, I was just really upset about realizing that I'm Charlie Brown.
Yeah, well, it makes sense.
Okay.
I kind of saw, like, a lot of our friends in these characters.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
No, they're gonna listen. Well, actually, they don't listen.
Well, I don't think, the only other one I really noticed was, yeah, our friends don't listen. Fuck our friends. Special shout out to none of you for listening.
No, I feel like Lucy is our friend Anna.
Yes, and yeah. I noticed that when she got really upset because Snoopy was breathing in her root beer glass. And she lost her mind and, like, poured it out under a microscope and was talking about dog germs and, like, I can't drink this. It's disgusting. I was like, that's Anna
it
to
is.
A T.
Well, then just Anna's like, well, Anna follows around blondes.
Like, she does.
She does, yeah. But
Anna's not, like, a pushy bitch like Lucy. She's not.
No.
She doesn't hold out the football and, like, jerk it away.
No, she doesn't do that, but she does have, like, that confidence where she, like,
she
will burst into
confident.
Her room and be, like, the most confident person there. And she does have short black hair.
She does have short black hair.
Yeah. And she wears a lot of blue.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she is very Lucy-like.
Who is Schroeder?
Rob? I don't know. Who's Schroeder?
I don't know. You're the only one of our friends that I know that plays the piano.
That's true. I don't know. Schroeder's kind of like a non-entity to me. He okay, just kind so of who, like hunches over and...
Who else did you have?
I have a few, but I feel like I can't say here.
But I want to guess. Let's do one more. Okay. Is this someone I know?
I'm trying to think of...
I can write down the name.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, wait. Hang on. I gotta think of...
Like, name the character and the descriptors for why you think it's...
Oh, I feel like Megan is Sally.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah. Yes, that's fair. The not the chasing around the guy thing, but she's like the rainbows, her attitude. Butterfly, happy,
yeah,
cheerful, yeah.
Counterpart, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's good.
Do you have a new one?
I wish I did. I wasn't really thinking too hard about it.
Hmm.
I don't know. Am I also Marcy? Because I can't see.
No, you're not Marcy. I think, no.
Okay. Do we have anyone who's a Peppermint Patty?
We're going to discuss this later.
Oh. Oh, yes. Yes. Good Lord.
Anyway.
Yes, we have a Peppermint Patty. Oh, God.
Anyway.
Yeah, so they're really, I think the takeaway is there's not really anything great to watch for New Year's, in my opinion.
Yeah, there needs to be more stuff. I guess people are just busy getting drunk and, like, making out with each other. They don't need to step aside to watch a special.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're doing for New Year's.
Oh, yeah?
Presumably.
Oh, yeah, same. Yeah.
Yeah.
All of us.
All of us together. Do you have New Year's plans?
Yeah.
Cool, me too. Great.
You do, though.
Yeah.
So do I.
Cool.
Separately, though.
I know.
It's too bad.
A separate piece.
Some other time.
Yeah.
Next year. Some other time.
Like, we've done many years in the past.
Anyway, but, like, next time we get together to talk for on the podcast...
It's gonna be 2020.
It's gonna be a new decade.
It's gonna be a whole new decade.
That's crazy.
Let's hope we all make it.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Got a few more weeks. Oof. See if we can do it.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Do you have any New Year's resolutions?
Nope.
Great.
Do you?
I'm going to be kinder to myself.
Good.
Because I'm very gentle with everyone else, and I'm very hard on myself. So I'm going to try to work on that. It'll last a day.
I'll help you. I'm going to be your lioness. I'm going to follow you around, sucking my thumb, spouting
Please
out
don't.
Unwarranted and unasked for life advice.
Perfect. I can't wait. 2020 is going to be our best year yet.
Cannot wait.
It's going to be amazing. Go ahead and follow Caitlin on Twitter.
Yeah.
She's hilarious.
Duffosaurus_Rex.
I'm so proud of you. That should be your 2020 resolution. Always remember the underscore.
Got done.
2 times in a row you've done it.
Have I?
Yeah, I'm so proud of you.
Thank you, Mom.
You're welcome, daughter.
You're on social media. You're on Instagram. I'm
on Instagram.
At TSOL8, as in the number 8, not as in, like, I ate something.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can follow us there. We also have a show Instagram at Peanut Butter and Jelly Shoes.
I guess so. We don't ever update it.
Sometimes.
I don't have Instagram, so I don't have the power to update things.
It is on your computer. You could also put it on your phone.
I can't update things from my computer,
though. You can put it on your phone.
I'm not going to download this app for my...
All right. Settle down. You got very upset about it. You probably have an app on there that I'm like, why is this on there? But you can't make room for Instagram.
Yeah.
Okay, that's
fair. I have the Buffalo Wild Wings app.
Oh, my God. That makes sense.
Yeah.
That tracks.
Thank you.
Yeah. So follow us. We sometimes post things.
We sure do.
Yeah.
And anyway, that's it.
That's it.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year. I hope you all live through it. Have a really wonderful 2020.
Yeah. You too.
I was talking to the listeners, but yeah, you too.
Yep. All right.
Cool.
All right. I'm Caitlin.
I'm Tiffany.
Bye.
Goodbye.